It's a hot summer day in Salt Lake City, and Amanda Baldwin is looking for some shade. The 21-year-old and dozens of others are enduring the noonday sun to walk around the track at Valley View State Park. They're all participants of the Williams Syndrome Walk, an event designed to raise money for the Williams Syndrome Association, but more importantly, gives people like Amanda and their families a chance to connect.
You got something to say?
I just think Amanda's the best, and kids with Williams Syndrome are always generous and loving. Yeah, Williams Syndrome's pretty tight.
At just under 5 feet, Amanda has the elven features that make people with Williams Syndrome easy to spot. The high forehead, low cheekbones, a delicate upturned nose, and full lips that frame a set of widely spread teeth. She talks at a rapid pace. People with Williams Syndrome tend to excel in their verbal skills. And because they're so socially uninhibited, they have an uncanny way of making people happy. But the rare genetic disorder can also cause hypersensitivity to loud noises, heart defects, and cognitive delays.
Yeah, like I tell people and they're like, oh, I feel, I'm so sorry. It's like, you don't have to say you're sorry. I'm not dying. I'm not in the hospital dying. I mean, I could understand if they say sorry if I like had something, something happened with my heart again. I could understand that. But when I tell people, like, what is that? I never heard of that. I'm so sorry. It's like, don't say you're sorry. I'm fine. I'm just a little different than everybody.
You're better than everyone.
Williams Syndrome is caused by missing genes so small they can't be seen under a microscope. That's why the syndrome is relatively new. Detection of Williams Syndrome was virtually impossible until the 1960s.
We know that there are at least 22 genes missing. One of them is the elastin gene, which is related to supporting tissue of the heart, and that's the basis of the heart problem. And these missing genes have effects in a number of areas, but most importantly, the heart and the brain and learning. And those are the two biggest differences between persons with Williams Syndrome and everyone else.
Dr. John Carey is what you could call an expert in genetics. He's the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Medical Genetics, and as a pediatrician, he diagnosed a number of the children at the Williams Syndrome Walk.
It's so easy to like persons with Williams Syndrome that it was difficult not to make an attachment.
One thing that has fascinated Dr. Carey is the learning profile of a person with Williams Syndrome. Their differences in academics and development are more unique than any other syndrome or genetic disorder out there. Carey says they all seem to have the same similarities in their strengths and weaknesses, but the genetic reasons behind it have eluded researchers.
What we don't know for sure is what gene or genes, when missing, are the reason for the cognitive profile. There's some theories about it, but we don't know for sure. And there's other DNA missing in addition to these 22 genes that may contain genes that we haven't discovered yet.
When a child is first diagnosed with Williams Syndrome, a certain nagging thought is never far from the mind of their parents. What will adult life be like for my child? And can they ever fully be independent? This was an especially large concern for Carey Sharp, whose son was born in a time when even the medical community had a hard time answering that question.
Oh, yes. It was very scary. And you didn't know what to expect. Because at the time, they said they didn't live very long. So you got the impression, you know, that he wouldn't have a full lifespan, which we know now that they do.
Sharp's 33-year-old son, Jeremy, is the oldest participant at the Williams Syndrome Walk. He's an enigma in the group of mostly toddler or young adult participants.
I mean, he still has the juvenile enthusiasm for things, but you don't have to do the constant watching. So, you know, doing things like Disney on Ice or Disneyland, it's like having a young child without having to chase them. So it's kind of a plus-plus.
Like other adults with Williams Syndrome, one of the biggest challenges for Jeremy was finding an appropriate job where he actually felt successful. So with a little help from his mom, Jeremy has a job as a reading aide at West Jordan Elementary School, where she is a first grade teacher. The kids absolutely love him.
They don't feel the pressure or the stress. It's more like reading to a buddy. So they will read and do things for him that they won't do for my parent volunteers or for, you know, the teacher.
It's a hot summer day in Salt Lake City, and Amanda Baldwin has spotted a shady pavilion. But before she leaves, she gestures to her 18-year-old brother Robert and his friend Weston Callie. They all leap the track together.
In reality, I don't think it would be much different from, you know, having any other sister. The only thing that I don't like is that she feels like she, I don't know, can't do stuff because she has Williams syndrome, and I feel she could do anything that any of us can do.
Yeah, I don't think it's a syndrome. I think it's like Manda. That's what it's called. She's called Manda.
Stop it, you!
For Utah Public Radio, I'm Mackenzie Hamilton.